All right, welcome to Truth News Radio Australia. It is the 26th of September 2008, and today we've got an extraordinarily important broadcast for you folks. Today we'll be interviewing Ashworth Palace from panacea-bocaf.org, an organisation dedicated to spreading knowledge and dedicated to releasing the secrets of open source energy, free energy, alternative energy, and a whole plethora of different technologies which have been suppressed, which have been crushed, and which have been kept out of the minds of the general public. I'm Joshua Jackson, and this is Truth News Radio Australia. On the line, we've got Ashworth Palace, co-founder of Panacea Bocaf, and one of the most visible and vocal people of the open source energy movement here in Australia. He's worked diligently for years, bringing us lots of well-produced videos and presentations on YouTube and Google Video, and comprehensive documentation regarding free energy technology and energy-saving devices, both to retrofit your car and future technologies. How are you?
Josh, look, guys, thanks very much for having us on your program, mate. And I've just got to say, for creating the independent truth media too, I have to say you guys are doing very imperative work. I think this independent news media genre is essential for the public, especially with the subjugation going on today. I think if you look at the independent news media genre, I think they've created a needed legacy and generation of individuals who have, acquired their insights exclusively through introspection, by thinking for themselves and, not blind conformism and taking whatever the corporate governed mainstream news media tells them is truth without questioning it. So,
I
think even go as far as to say, I think our curricula should even make students look at one independent news media site on issues and form a report on them based on their own interpretations. I think we need to create a generation of thinkers, not, the dreaded sheeple. So, thanks a lot for this independent news media medium, guys.
Welcome aboard, Ashworth. Herowood here. It's great to this is our first radio piece on alternative energy technologies, but it's something we want to start covering regularly, isn't it, Josh? Like, we want to really get into this.
I've been a big fan and a student of alternative and free energy and some of the more controversial side of energy in regard to overunity and such, or the search for overunity, if that's around or not, but definitely to get rid of the fossil fuel side of things and the centralized control of energy, basically.
I wonder actually if just because you guys are probably going to get into some really technical stuff, but I just wanted to give you and also for our audience, my understanding. I've watched a few movies on using water as an energy source. And basically, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but basically the way I've come to understand this is that there are properties of the water molecule which haven't been fully exploited or even understood in traditional methods of when you separate hydrogen and oxygen, electrolysis and stuff like that. I mean, there's properties of the water molecule that make it possible to split the hydrogen and the oxygen at a much lower level of energy than most physicists would believe is possible. Does that seem correct?
Yeah, well, you are correct. You are 100% correct. The thing is, what I just wanted to draw attention to before we go into some of the methods here and in some layman's terms, there has been uniform scientific let's say, recording of these methods. And the first was in the 70s by Andrea Purich. And I don't think I pronounced his name. I couldn't pronounce his name to save myself. he was basically he laid most of the groundwork before the Yul Brown did with the Brown's gas. And he used if you could call it, resonance or molecular resonance to basically break down, change the dielectric breakdown of the water and release the what we refer to, some people today refer to as Brown's gas.
That's hydroxy gas, right?
Which is...
Is that the same as hydroxy gas?
Yeah, it is. Hydroxy is exclusively an open-sourced energy term it was coined by researcher and inventor Bob Boyce. And what this is basically not the normal hydrogen that people are used to seeing in the diatomic state. It's actually in a monatomic state, so it's more energy in train. So if I was to get, say, you know, X amount of Brown's gas or monatomic hydrogen or hydroxy, the same amount of diatomic tank hydrogen would be less energy efficient. So now going back to these, going back to the methods that you described, So Andrea, if you research Andrea Purich, you can actually get the proper spelling of his name in some of the documentation on our website. But he was the first to actually use molecular resonance, and he's you have a look at his resume. He's a very prolific scientist and very well recognized. And then you have, obviously, you have the next person up from that is Stanley Myers, which no doubt you is a familiar name amongst.
Yeah, I've seen the documentary on him.
Yeah, there's been a couple of news pieces on him.
We've actually got some of his stuff on the R&D table at the moment, and we've got some promising results too. But the thing is, when you look at resonance, which is basically what we're talking about here, to break down the dielectric, a dielectric breakdown of the water molecules, it has to start from Purich, and then it will go to Myers, but then obviously, resonance, then you even go into the plasma disassociation of water too, which were what Myers eventually went on to. And now, then you go to Herman Anderson, who actually did it too. And he's got a patent.
Just to give the audience a bit of a clear understanding of what plasma is, I guess it's if you started with ice, that would be H2O as a solid. Then you've got H2O as a liquid, which is water. Then you've got H2O as a vapor, which is humidity. Then you've also got H plus H plus O, which is the plasma. So they're not quite separate. Is that quite right? But they're not binded into a water molecule.
Well, yeah. Basically, the plasma is a very high energy state. Like there's, you know, you've got liquids, solids, gas, and then you've got plasma. Plasma's like, it's its own genre. That'd be about the most layman's way I could explain it to you.
Right, yeah.
And you know, just...
You go on.
I was just going to say, you know, the key thing here, again, for, you know, a sort of non-technical audience to understand is that the water molecule, you know, H, two hydrogen atoms and a water molecule in a kind of a V shape. Two hydrogen atoms and an oxygen atom, forming the water molecule in a kind of a V shape. It has some very interesting properties, doesn't it, the water molecule, because it's dipolar. Because it's like it's got a positive and a negative end to it, which is the principle of why microwave ovens work, because the dipole basically causes the water molecule to spin. And, you know, something about this this particular, you know, construction of the water molecule, you know, it's quite hard to break the molecule into its component bits. That normally takes a lot of energy. But there are ways to do it at much lower energy. And some people speculate that this is done from zero point, that there is actually a zero point energy principle at work here, which again is another theoretical concept, but it's that there is an energy from the vacuum which exists. Now, I haven't heard you talk about that, Ash, but I've you know just basically picked it up.
Yeah, no, I can go right into that, mate. We actually build these systems. There is two main systems that you can construct as a proof of principle of this, and this is what we've got, and we're about to put in our up and coming video. These are creating unidirectional electrical impulses into the dielectric materials. For example, the voltage disassociation of water. And that's what Stanley Myers do. And what you're doing, you're limiting the current and creating an abrupt, voltage spikes that collapse. And that's where the inrush of the so-called vacuum comes in, if you want to go into the theory of it that way. And, excuse me, you can test this yourself. Basically, you can go and get, a tube of 316L stainless steel, and you can make a tube with I recommend a gap of about 0.6 mil, and it'll take a while to electroplate it. You use tap water, and basically you need to build a signal generator that can, turn the frequency up. And basically you need to condition, or we call electroplating your stainless steel in the tap water, and it will build up a insulating layer on the negative side, and it looks like it's all white, like a calcium oxide deposit on it. And this goes in line with Myers' original intention on his patent, where he uses layers of Delrin, which is a plastic, to insulate it from the electrons, because what we're trying to do here is make the voltage do all the work. So you want to limit the current in any way you can. And basically, so after it'll take a while to electroplate this tube that you're using for your proof of concept, and this will build up, like I said, an insulating layer on the negative. And then what you can do for the proof of principle is to turn your frequency up to, say, 10 amps and do a gas flow test on that. Then add a voltage intensifier circuit, which is basically a toroidal coil and a bifellow inductor with certain diodes on it, and put the same amount of amperage in there, 10 amps, and do a gas flow test then. If you get more gas for the 10 amps than you did without the voltage intensifier circuit, then it can prove to you there and then that it is not conventional electrolysis, which it isn't, in Myers creating the hydroxy gas. And this is the test that we're going to do on our up and coming video to show this. I must mention just while I'm. Yep.
And that's on post on YouTube under the name Ashworth, or where.
Yeah, that'll be released under under the non-profit organisation's videos, mate. We're going to do an educational one on it. We've actually done a few, but we. It's taken a while to electroplate our prototype, and we've got other ones there as well doing a similar process to Myers, which is by Bob Boyce. And we're actually going to do just an educational video on all these, how you can do proof of principles just to prove this to yourself.
Okay.
The thing is, mate, a lot of people are going down. Oh, sorry, mate.
No, you're right. Yep. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, a lot of people are interested in this, the voltage disassociation and the resonance side of the to produce hydroxy. It has since been found that you can get above Faraday, meaning that you can get some pretty good gas without having to do resonance and. This is what the amazing new discoveries and reports that we're getting is that you can actually go down this line by brute force DC. And what happens is Faraday never ever accounted, his equations never included a catalyst. So if you, what we've found from reports now is that if you condition and No, this is a completely different ball game. That calcium on the tubes is just an insulating layer to stop the electrons, right. Which Bearden says that Tom Bearden says that's what you've got to do to let the vacuum energy come in. You've got to restrict the current so the back EMF doesn't kill the dipolarity or the dipole. But yeah, this is actually just a catalytic layer that builds up on your electrodes in a typical brute force DC. Situation. Now, how do you get this catalytic layer? It's very easy. You've got to prepare your plates, cleanse them, and soak them in a certain electrolyte, and condition them with certain amounts of current. And we have found that even after you get a typical hydroxy booster and you soak it in electrolyte, the efficiencies improve either over time by letting it soak or by runtime. And this is because
is that similar to the electrodes?
No, mate. The this is just straight brute force DC. This is when you get a bunch of stainless steel, put it in some water, and you use electrolyte to in the form of say caustic soda or sodium hydroxide.
So this is just standard water conductive. This is just standard electrolysis.
Yeah, this is a standard electrolysis, mate. Yeah, this is what the exciting thing is. We've actually seen someone in one of our engineers in South Africa produce 200% above Faraday using a 101 plate cell, and he did that on 180 amps at 5 amps. And he's got his video there. He shows you exactly how he does it. All these methods are already out in our documentation how to do this, and it's from a trusted source because Bob Boyce, he's actually said that all along, that you can build up a catalytic layer on your electrodes from certain preparations, and it makes sense because Faraday never did his equations with a catalyst in mind. And if you really look at Faraday, very closely, he said, you can see this in his direct quotes. He said, "This is only the outcome I've been able to do with the instruments I've got. If you can get more energy, go for it."
And you can produce enough gas with this to basically feed an engine, feed a combustion engine, basically continuously.
Well, not by the brute force method,
okay,
mate.
Well, so that's still experimental.
At this time, you can still get up to 88% and 90%. We've got proven reports from brute force boosters, which we can validate at any time, that you can get up to 88 to 90%, which is pretty good for brute force technology. If you understand the ratios and how to implement it and how to, what system to and what efficient system to implement.
Right.
But I would say that the resonant stuff at the moment, it's still work in progress. If you want a design of a resonant cell that could run a car at 100%. The only one we know of at the moment, which has been proposed to be able to get that sort of output, which is at peak output, I think it's 100 litres per minute of hydroxy, that would be the Bob Boyce design. And this is, you've got a sophisticated three-frequency system with a toroidal coil, and especially wound toroidal, which is meant to produce a longitudinal wave electricity. And this is to go into a 101 plate cell, which is conditioned. And it's actually like a spin-off of Myers and brute force, because he actually does use a little bit of electrolyte as well.
All right, I just want to...
Yeah, that's the one we've
I just want to go back to a little bit more non-technical stuff for the vast side of our audience, so we don't bamboozle them. But it is definitely good to stay on both the technical and non-technical. But I just wanted to quickly ask you, how did you get into alternative energy, Ashworth?
Okay, now this is going to take a little bit of background. I'll try and make it as informative as I can for all the listeners there. To me, the research that the you know, the non-profit and I organisation and I are involved in, it's never really been alternative energy to us. It's rather a suppressed energy technology. Alternative energy, although still, you know, in certain ways, is still controlled in certain ways. For example, BP Solar, hello, high price.
Yeah, that's right.
Alternative energy is usually, conceptualized.
I just want to not just sweep over that comment because it's a very important comment. You know, here we have BP at the turn of when they changed their logo to a green sun, a green sort of sun saying greener than ever. They went around buying up all the solar patents around the world, then inflating the price to astronomical prices, so to keep them pretty much out of common reach, while totally feathering their own nest. If you look on top of every BP solar, there's solar panels all on top of every BP service
station.
That's
amazing, isn't it?
It's just such a sham. And you get these people saying greener than ever. I mean, it's really unbelievable. You know, it's all perception.
Come on, mate.
Disgusting.
You don't think the oil companies would lie to us, would you? Hello, high price.
Sorry,
Dan's just going to.
Sorry, mate. Can I just ask about do you guys get people asking you about the conservation of energy principle and how this applies to your work?
Yes, we do, and I can answer that. I'll get back to the background, but I'll just answer that quickly for you. It's very easy to do. Basically, the devices that we're involved in do not violate the law of the conservation of energy. So that is insidious myth that is associated with the so-called free energy buzzword, because, you know, basically, the devices in the energy transformation process does not violate the law of thermodynamics and does not violate the law of conservation energy. And the only simple way to explain that is that there is energy coming in from another source. I mean, if you go up to an electrical engineer and he creates a source charge, right, or a dipolarity, like a positive and negative, or you've got a magnet with a north and a south. You know, where does that energy come from? I mean, it's funny that, you know, these guys are the biggest advocates of perpetual motion because if you ask them where their energy comes from, they won't be able to tell you. And the simple answer is that these systems are based on a coefficiency of performance. That means that they are open systems. Now, coefficiency of performance means the energy I put into a system and I add that to the energy the environment puts in to equal the total outcome. And now that means that the energy I put in, I can get more energy out than the user puts in because the environment puts in the excess energy. Like you've got.
But Ashworth,
we've
discovered everything there possibly is to discover. How could there be another source of energy? We've discovered everything.
Okay. So you want a scientific proof of this energy source?
No,
this is,
I mean,
okay.
That's the sort of ridiculousness that you hear from a lot of people. That must be, you know, destroying the conservation of energy because of you're getting more than you're putting in. Well, hang on, no, I'm actually putting in stuff that we don't know about yet, or we're just discovering.
Well, the simple answer is, I mean, if you've got a wind to windmill, right, how much energy do I put in to turn the windmill? The environment, I might put in a little bit, if I attached a windmill to a generator, I could sit on the bike and turn the generator with my pedal power and let the wind put in. That's exactly what these devices are, except they tap into the quantum vacuum, or if you're a science man with the mainstream ethos, the energy that's been proven to exist through the Casimir effect, they use that in nanotechnology now too. If you get two non-conductive electrical plates and you put them together, they will actually, the force between them will pull them together. Now,
the Casimir effect is not
proven
is not
in
magnetic.
The mainstream ethos.
That's not magnetic.
These are non-conductive plates, right?
But is that a
I
force?
Could
is that a force?
You,
or is that a force? You mean, or just is it work done or a force?
No, that is what they call the zero-point energy or the quantum vacuum of space. Basically, the layman's term, the layman's way to explain this is that you've got an attractive force that acts between two close parallel uncharged conductive plates. Because what happens is when you space these two things together, you think that there's just empty space between them, and you've got a different wavelength which actually pulls them in together. And Casimir, it's present. Casimir proved this, and they use that now, that effect now in nanotechnology. And you've got it present in the Lamb shift as well. These are all mainstream ethos scientific experiments, by the way.
Sure. What I'm saying is,
they've proven.
But a lot of people are going to have a bit of like a blind spot with this, because they think it's the conservation of energy, which is actually quite a useful and profound principle in physics, and it has very deep implication and has led to the discovery of many unknown particles. Strictly following the laws of the conservation has led to the discovery of many, many things. I mean, it's not a joke.
That's the thing. I mean, we're not saying that the law of the conservation of energy, this is my point, is a joke, and we don't violate the law of thermodynamics. We know you can't get something from nothing. You'd have to be an idiot to think you could get something from nothing. What our point is that when we look at these systems, they are open systems that obey the law of thermodynamics and the conservation of energy. Open system means that the energy I put in is added to the energy that the environment puts in. The environment puts in the excess energy in this system, and it comes from the zero-point energy field or the quantum vacuum of space. And I said, the existence of that field is already proven by the mainstream scientific ethos.
For instance, folks,
the Casimir effect.
If you have, look out in space. Every planet is constantly spinning. Where's that energy from? What is that energy? And is that the zero point? Is that what the sort of why is everything
well,
in space
that's the thing.
Moving?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the planets don't slow down, or the atoms that have been orbiting the nucleus in rocks for millions of years don't slow down every so often and say, mate, do you know where the servo is? To get what you're saying. The UFOs don't either. But to get what you're saying, they've proven the existence of this field, which is what my point is, but in the mainstream scientific ethos, the Lamb shift and the Casimir effect. I could name a couple more, but if you guys look those two up, the mainstream science already, they accept that this field is real now. Now, just getting back to the law of the conservation of energy, these systems do not violate it because they are open systems, and their energy output is measured by a coefficiency of performance.
Yeah.
That means the energy I put in is added to the energy the environment puts in to equal the total output. Now, the total output can be over what I put in because the user only puts in a little bit and the environment puts in the rest. Now, that is called a coefficiency of performance under an open system, and you've got a heat pump that is an open system like that because the heat puts it in. You've got a windmill, wave energy, and so why not?
A heat pump doesn't violate the conservation of energy.
No, what he's saying, Dan, is there's other sources out there that are putting in that we are just on the verge and the cusp of science. Could you explain to the audience what open source energy is? Because I've tried to explain it to a few people, and I mean, how I explain it is that there's open source software that's developed for all of the good of all mankind, instead of using the patent system, which can be corrupted.
Okay, well, in one word, what is open source energy? Well, in one word, it's security, and it's done for specific reasons. Unlike in the other genres of open source, for example, what Josh mentioned, open source software like Linux, open sourcing energy is done for security, safety, and, to ensure dissemination. It does function in a similar way as other open source genres. For example, you know, the information is freely given to the public domain for all, you know, for all to reproduce.
The good of mankind, yep.
You cannot patent it. People work daily on improving it and keeping it free. However, when you look at open sourcing energy, especially the type which we deal with, which threatens the status quo, then you have a whole other reason outside of any other open source genre to open source. And open source energy is, you know, also security against the Patent Office interference, and which there's already been many reported cases which are listed on our website. Also, you know, a patent on a free energy device can get a military order to cease and desist, and there are many classified patents being hidden from the public, as Tom Vallone, a former patent employee, they had to, you know, pay him damages, has proven. So open sourcing also prevents this.
What happens if the open source energy community builds this amazing technology, then one citizen goes out there and patents it? What happens then?
Okay. There's actually been a bit of that going on previously, but none of them have got anywhere. The thing is, when something is in published in the public domain, you know, someone can go off and patent it and do whatever, but they're still not going to stop people from reproducing it. And if someone wanted to contend their patent, they would just have to prove that
All right, sorry, we seem to have dropped the Skype line then, so we're back with Ashworth Palace. So going back to what you're saying about...
Yeah, going back to what is open source energy. Okay, well, one thing that's particularly important to point out about open source energy, you were mentioning what happens if someone goes and patents it, and that, I mean, that really isn't going to affect the open source engineer or the open source disclosure, because people can still reproduce it, and you know it gets out to the widest possible audience, and we're not left at the mercy of the retailer, which a lot of devices are like that. But basically, what's important? There's a few important things to mention about open source energy. Obviously, open sourcing energy also makes it redundant for anybody to come after you who would lose financially by your technology reaching the public, as it is posted in the public domain and accessible. But what the main thing is that there is a myth among proprietary inventors of free energy technology, or you know, energy that needs no geothermal, nuclear, biofuels, fossil fuels, etc. And that is that by open sourcing their technology, you know, they cannot seek any remuneration or make any money or, you know, recover costs or etc. They are under the they're all basically you know, under the impression that the only way to make money is to go down the commercialization route. And also, since it's energy technology that, you know, a multi-trillion-dollar industry would lose money from, you know, they don't think that any political and economic conditions apply to them, or they think that...
Yeah, it's absurd, isn't it? It's absurd to think that the only way is that one way. The only way is to go through the patent office. It's absurd to think that, you know, I mean, Linux and all these places, they're making money. They're just not making astronomical money.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, what I was going to allude to is that there is a guy open sourcing energy that's making astronomical money. And this is what I was getting to with the, you know, the myth of not being able to make money. That myth has been broken this year, in fact, proven in a case file. One particular person open sourced this hydroxy booster design,
right?
And he now makes $3 to $4 million in book sales per year. $3 to $4 million in book sales. The police even use his design, and you know, it's to do with alternative energy. Now, the unique the unique thing about this whole, this scenario and this particular person is that the design which he put out, most engineers consider it to be an inferior and average design, which it is, and it's actually even dangerous. It produces toxic gas, but basically he's still making a killing. And you know, something in the magnitude of a free energy device that actually does do something beneficial would clean up for the inventor. Not only this, you know, open sourcing it ensures the public safety and dissemination. And basically, like you said, when it comes to subjugation and suppression of free energy technology, you know, it's been going on since the time of Nikola Tesla, as far back as the 1800s. So I would say open source energy is one of the only ways to free humanity in this case. But it is important that inventors think that, you know, that they cannot make money from open source. Look at this case file of this guy's Boosa.
Yeah.
I don't really want to give him a plug on air, but yeah, it is happening at the moment.
Well, I mean, you've got to understand, folks, that back in the day of Tesla's age, you know, early 1900s, late 1800s, there was no real opportunity to be open source as much there is now, because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have ways of mass distributing our own papers. You know, that's why music had to go through big corporations to then get published through all these music stores. Nowadays, they just can publish themselves and be instantly at a distribution network of millions and millions of people. So we have now, it's the perfect time to eradicate this old school way of thinking and really bring new technologies and new schools of thought into the public domain using the internet and infrastructures of open source and common Creative Commons style licensing.
Oh, definitely. You know, inventors with proprietary free energy technology, I mean, at the moment they cling on to their pre-programming and conditioning that, you know, that the accumulation of personal wealth in life is the only way to get ahead. And despite this stance not letting them make any progress with their device, so they are neutralized at the moment by their own desires. And this, yeah,
absolutely.
Of course,
Stanley Meyer did the same thing. Stanley Meyer, you know,
yep.
At the end of the day, he tried to follow the traditional route, and where is he now? Well, he's 6 foot under.
Mate, seriously, the amount of cases I could tell you, it would take a whole nother show to point this out. I mean, you know, this proprietary thing is, of course, it's not what the world or the kids in the next generation need. They need someone who has a proprietary free energy device to break the slavery in their conditioning. I'd say all open source engineers, I would say, you could put it spiritually advanced above these lower levels of existence and choosing not to be contained, selfish, and controlled by self-interest.
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing to see the numbers of engineers that are jumping on board the open source movement. You just have to, you know, YouTube free energy and open source energy, and you'll see the plethora of inventors breaking free from the constraints of the traditional patent system. But at the same time, there's still people clinging onto that thought. So, but it is really amazing to see how many people are really getting amongst open source energy, and just congratulate all of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, one only needs to look at you know, basically, I want to say about the open source engine and how effective it is. You know, one only needs to look at the open source engineer, an example in the dissemination of the Geek technology in France. I mean,
yeah,
the dissemination
of
the Geek technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Basically, you know, the
can
dissemination
we just ask what does Geek stand for to start off with?
People that aren't on the same page as my brain at the moment. That is, a GEET is actually an acronym that stands for Global Environmental Energy Technology.
Excellent.
And basically, you know, the GEET technology could have only happened as a result of open source engineers. I mean, you know, this has only happened due to the fact that the open source community works daily on improving what we have, and improvements have certainly resulted in the case of the GUI technology in France. You've basically got over 100 replications of this technology now in France, from helicopters, cars, tractors, small engines, agricultural material, boats.
Yeah, and folks, just look it up. Check it out. You know, they're all available to have a look at. These things are running and going. Peer-reviewed.
Yeah, well, I can speak empirically from that, because we've actually replicated this ourselves. And France is one of the forerunners of being able to teach you something about this technology, which is why Paul Pantone, the incarcerated inventor, his son, David Pantone, who we're in contact with, he's actually in France at the moment getting taught by the French guys how to do this.
Now, his Paul Pantone was locked up for what reason?
Well, for what reason? Basically, because...
I'll just give a bit of a background. Sorry, Paul Pantone, yep, for the listeners, is the inventor of the GUI technology. He initially came up with it, and now he's sitting in a mental asylum, being drugged up to the eyeballs, basically forgetting everything he's ever done. Is that right to say?
Basically, Paul Pantone has been framed. I can say that with confidence and coherence by studying and looking at his case, and anyone with any sorts of brains would look at it and they would see the inconsistencies in his case. And before I just get into continuum of the GUI, I'll just tell you about the plight of Paul Pantone.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically, you know, it looks like a case out of the Men in Black comic book. He's still being kept against his will. He's in perfect mental health. His system works. Yet they have him locked up and accuse him of it not working. And there are many inconsistencies in his case to suggest that anything but fair justice is taking place. Granted, you know, Paul had done a few business mistakes, but not all he is being accused of. Recently, I've heard that they are forcing him, like Josh said, to take their medication. He's in they've made him incarcerate him into a mental ward. They are forcing him to take the psychotropic drugs, and there is a campaign, basically, and an organisation on the Geech friend site to help it address its situation. So the more people that build the GUI and use it and write in will help his plight. Of course, if we get it out there, then, you know, basically what they're doing to Paul in the end won't matter anyway. We all reproduce it and train people. But he is in need of support. So if there are any high-level barristers out there or lawyers, please have a look at his case and help. Paul does hold the key to getting the GUI out there to capacity in training and advice.
So where is he,
sir? And he's actually in a Utah mental institution.
What's he been charged with?
They've framed him for securities fraud, and you know, a lot of people tried to steal his technology, and that's why they've all conspired against him. And he wouldn't sell out his patents, and you know, all sorts of. I mean, if you have a look at the video production we did, we've got witness testimony about their stuff being, you know, stolen from their shops, people cutting their brake lines. You know, all the things that you would expect a desperate multi-trillion-dollar oil industry to resort to, because you can save enough fuel from the GUI to basically put them out of business.
All the people sniggering now, yep, and laughing and thinking, oh, yeah, as if that, you know, what a load of bollocks. Look, you got to understand it like this. If you're living on a street and there's a drug dealer up the road and he's basically got the whole suburb, you know, he's dealing to the whole suburb, he's living pretty, and then you move in and you start dealing something else down the road, what's he going to do? For a measly, you know, maybe you're taking $3,000 off him a month or whatever. For that, he's just going to kill you. Now, you've got to think, this isn't some measly little drug dealers. These are These are the people that run the world economy. These are people that run multi-trillion dollar industries. Now, if you come along and threaten that...
Yeah, it is bigger than any other, bigger than guns, bigger than drugs, bigger than defense.
It's everything, because it incorporates
all
of them.
And you've got to remember, too, that there's a lot of fractional organizations that are dependent on the sale of oil, too, not just the OPEC and the oil cartels,
That's right.
The oil cartels, rather.
Total knock-on.
You go to OPEC, you go to...
Do you know anything about...
Do
you know anything more than is publicly available about Stanley Myers' death? Now, what I read was that he died of food poisoning. He went to a Chinese restaurant, stood up and basically screamed out, "I've been poisoned," and then fell down and basically died. Do you know anything about
that? Yes, I do. You don't know how lucky you are to have me on the phone. I've spoken to someone who was there at the restaurant with him. I'm in contact with that guy.
You're kidding.
And his
wow.
Brother as well. No, mate. I don't kid to you guys.
No.
Right. Now,
right.
Surprise, surprise, he was poisoned. And surprise, surprise, his brother can testify to that, Stephen.
Did they do an autopsy?
And this guy, Gary. I've got a photo. I know Gary was with him. Gary's actually sent me a photo of with him and Stan Myers. And Gary, at the moment, is following our research on it. And I've got to say that we are very, very close in this next video, and we will show you the proof of principles you can do anything. I just wanted to get that in. But
excellent.
There are more cases to prove an evidence witness testimony of this suppression. And this guy, Gary, and Stephen Myers, his brother, who's involved in the Exogen Canadian company, which is a similar process, they can testify to everything that you've read on that forum, at how he has turned, he went white as a ghost.
Yeah.
And, it's an old mob thing that they usually do. They poison. This is what Gary was telling me about. But basically, that's Myers. If you look at today, there was a wave power guy that got knocked off a few weeks ago, and the latest guy before that had a self, he's got the patents on this too, Ari DeGeus. He was found dead in the airport about to fly out to meet the investors, and that was on the mainstream news, and they said, just like Myers, that he had a heart attack, and on the official report. Now, this guy's got a zero-point energy-related patent, and they accept that term in the patent office now. Ask yourself why.
Wow.
They can't cover it up anymore. He had a zero-point energy self-powering battery, and this guy was found dead in his car in the airport on the mainstream news, ready to fly out to go and see investors. Now, same thing with Meyer. Gary reports that Stephen was there with him at the restaurant. He saw him come out of the toilet. He said he was white as a sheet, and he said that Stanley had told him that he had been poisoned.
My God, you don't know if they did an autopsy, do you? You don't know if there was any autopsy done, or maybe they weren't able to.
Oh, mate. They did an autopsy, right? They've stated on the official report that he died of a heart attack.
Right.
very convenient. So, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we can reproduce this technology, and Stephen's gone very far to do it with his Exogen company. They ran into, like everyone else, political and economic conditions, and
so
as soon as they made the claim that...
Is Exogen following the open source energy route?
No, mate. Exogen is actually a Canadian company run by Stanley's brother, and he's actually what they're focused on primarily. Now, you can go to their website, exogen.ca, because they're in California. They're actually promoting more of their water purification system that still uses the same process that Stanley Meyer did, because his brother's in there and that's what he's doing.
Right.
They did do the molecular resonance cell for the cars. And as soon as they did that, and they made the claim, and they made a very, layman's claim. They said, "Look, how is it that we are releasing all this energy out of the water, And he basically made a brilliant, you know, layman's explanation of that, that states, and used the analogy of when you have a bucket of gasoline, you only need a tiny little spark for that, a tiny little spark in that bucket of gasoline to release all that energy from the gasoline. And that's what the, he explains they're doing in the Myers exergen process. They use a tiny little bit to release all the energy already contained in the water. And, you know, there's many things about water we don't understand yet as well, by the way. But he, they're basically only, you know, focusing on their water purification treatment at the moment, because as soon as they said they can run a car on water, their company stock got frozen and all sorts of other stuff. So
were they floating?
Down the track, they were what, sorry?
They were floating, were they, that company?
Oh, well, it's the Tactus, I think, was the one I couldn't tell you from memory. I have to look it up. But yeah, their stock was frozen, and you know, they basically dropped out, and they've reappeared now in Canada. But they're not, you know, saying we can run a car on water now. They're saying here's our lovely water purification technology.
Unbelievable.
So yeah, the technology can be reproduced. I mean, what we really need,
exposure.
Which is the concept of the non-profit org. Well, you know, we're basically pilot scaling our demos in order to work towards a public funded non-profit research and development center in the public eye, which can, you know, act as a conduit and interface for all this technology to advance education and keep it in the public eye and, you know, where it's safe. And this is what these guys haven't got. They haven't got a centralized hub that's tailored specifically for technology that has, you know, political and economic conditions associated with it. And they cannot get it where it can be recognized and validated. Validated is the key word here, because all these guys are keeping it to themselves, and they won't let an independent validation happen, but they won't, they don't have a centralized hub that can, you know, validate it and show it as be an interface and a conduit to the sponsors and the government and mainly the public. You've got to build consumer awareness and demand of these systems, Bill, guys. If you put it this way, how hard will it be to suppress Stanley Myers or Stephen Myers in Exergen if, you know, everyone out there at the moment is paying through the nose for this criminal oil price of fuel at the moment? If they knew that there was a validated alternative out there, would they not pressure their own local politician or whatever?
Oh, absolutely.
How would the oil companies be able to stop
it? Can't.
Need consumer awareness and demand.
They can't.
Through validation. And you know, they can't cover it up then. I mean, you know, if you've got people around there now, like, you know, even Stephen Myers with Exergen up there in Canada, I mean, they haven't validated or let someone independently produce, you know, a third party.
The fact of the matter is, the only thing that I feel is that we do have a lobotomized community really nowadays. Like, honestly, the general society that we live in sit there in front of their TVs and go, you know, they're just filled up to the eyeballs with fluoride and aspartame, and they really can't think for themselves. And they see something, they go, oh, I can't wait for that to be in Woolworths. And that's as far as it goes.
So yeah.
And I feel really bad saying that, but generally, you know, and I'm not saying that to our listeners, but, you know, our listeners know what I'm talking about here. You know, you just look around and people are really just apathetic and we're just, you know, oh, look, it's just easier putting the pump. But saying that, I think there's a lot of really interested people that are rising up now, that are rising up from this apathetic point of where they're at, and really sort of moving ahead, and with researchers like yourself putting this information out in a centralized place, and then also decentralizing it through the community, I think we've got a real chance here.
See, that's the thing. I mean, even with the independent news media, I mean, the same as the open source energy movement, with all this technology that's you know, suppressed and that we can reproduce. Based on the research we've done so far, all this, we're only running on 10% awareness here. So getting out through the community, obviously, like you said, is imperative to create security with open source energy, with especially with this technology above all others. But really, we're only really running on 10% here. Like 10% of, well, not even 10% of Australia would really know about a basic hydroxy booster and the GEET technology, which can save them fuel and cut pollution right now.
Now, there are plans out to make this GEET energy, yep. GEET engine on a two-stroke lawnmower engine. If folks want to get those plans, where would they go?
Okay, now basically you can look at the most successful replications of not just the lawnmower and the small engine, actually the cars and the boats and even on a helicopter came from France. Now what we've done is we've created an online university and we validate and build these devices ourselves, so we're not just putting a PDF together, we're actually building it and validating it and adding all the technical instructions, and these are actually proper courses. Actually, we have an online university where you can go, you can get information on the GEET technology, hydroxy boosters, many more. And this is at the PanaceaUniversity.org.
So that's spelled PanaceaUniversity.org.
Yep. Now that's actually our faculty part of our website. We're a non-profit organisation. We're the only ones in existence that's dedicated exclusively to research and development on alternative and suppressed energy technology and open source.
Yeah, folks, please go there and donate. That's Panacea-BOCAF. That's PanaceaBOCAF.org. These are cutting-edge group of engineers and scientists really trying to make a difference. So it's imperative that you go and support these guys.
And it's non-profit too. It's non-profit too. We are not selling anything. We want to train you guys and tutor you guys how to do this. We basically, we're only allowed by law to cover our overheads. And put it this way, if we had resources, I could tell you clearly and unequivocally, we could end the energy crisis right now. We've got so many promising results already that we've pilot scaled and that we're working towards, but we have no budget. And there is up to 10,000 open source engineers out there, and we've got over 500 of the best ones registered with us as well. And what our goals are to pilot scale these devices, validate them, and put them into the public domain, not go out and get something in super cheap on the shelf and make some money and do some other projects. Primarily our ultimate goal is to validate, build these devices and release them into the public domain. That means that you guys get them, you have the security there. People can go off and try and patent these. They won't be able to do it when it's in the public domain, but ultimately the knowledge is safe and secure in the public domain.
Yeah. With the hydroxy booster, can people build a better version of what's being, because a lot of these, you go on the internet and there's all over the place these dodgy plans that kind of half work, they're pretty sketchy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, basically a hydroxy booster is a very cheap and effective way to cut down pollution and save fuel. It is also a great tool to, educate people of other water-powered systems. What we spoke about earlier, mainly because of the hydroxy or the HHO that's transformed from the water. But we've got to remember here that it is not normal diatomic hydrogen. It's very powerful monatomic hydrogen in there. And a hydroxy booster could be, considered as a mandatory corrective surgery to the internal combustion engine, because it does improve the combustion of your fuel, therefore giving you less hydrocarbons emissions or unburned fuel.
Yeah.
Also, as a result of improving the combustion of the fuel, you'll get more power and torque on the same fuel used. Hence, you'll go further on the same fuel and therefore save it.
What about
you've got the
what about the oil and the lubrication of the engine? Is that affected in any way?
No, it's not, because all you're really doing with a brute force hydroxy booster is adding enough energy to turn your fuel into high octane fuel. So obviously, if you were running your engine 100% on hydroxy, obviously hydroxy does not have any lubricating effects. Lubricating properties. But when you're talking about the hydroxy booster, no, you've got no problems, mate. You've got no embrittlement. You've got you actually clean out the carbon deposits in your engine. And we've seen a guy who's been driving around for 2 years, and he showed us a protective layer that it's formed in his engine. And we're actually going to put that on YouTube very soon to validate that as well. And the first. You've got to remember how old this technology is. I mean, the first hydroxy booster was patented in 1918, and still today the oil companies and the car manufacturers are not making them as standard, or fitting them, or the fitting of them is not endorsed and subsidized by the government. So it really is up to us to take the initiative till we get them over the line politically.
Subsidies. It's up to fantastic entrepreneurs out there to get these and start making packages. And, there's a lot of money to be made. Like you said earlier in the show, there's people making, $3 to $4 million a year just selling the books on how to make.
Yeah, that's the guy with the dodgy design.
And that's the guy with the dodgy design. If you could put together a little package where you send out these and just, get them made up, and even go to China, get them made up there, just get them out there. And honestly, there's so much money to be made in this, and it's all in the open public domain. So you don't have to go out there paying people for their patents. It's just rife for someone to go out there and start exploiting some of the research that you guys are doing all around the world.
Well, what's important to mention in that equation is that our organisation is a spanner in the works, because when you open the floodgates for people to come in and take something, you get left at the mercy of the retailer. In my opinion, unless you've got a Walmart Hydroxy Association or something, and geez, aren't they a terrible organisation? But excuse me. So what we've done is that we've ensured that the best and safest designs, the ones where you can avoid all the snake oil ones. And, the fantastical claims of being able to part the Red Sea and all the 50%, we've actually ensured that those designs remain low cost. Because if you get all these retailers out there that go, okay, gimme, 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 the merit of this technology we've done a dyno and emissions test in Sydney, and we cut down over half the hydrocarbons. Now that's nothing to be taken lightly, because they attack your liver and cause cancer. So the merit of this technology, as a pollution, the pollution cutting attributes alone, warrant its endorsement, carbon credits, even mandatory implementation to deal with the inefficiencies and pollution of the internal combustion engine.
Oh, look,
so
we want to attack it two ways. Absolutely. I'm quite skeptical on the fact that the world is getting warmed up by our carbon emissions, but I absolutely, it's 100% known that the pollutants are absolutely toxic for the human body. I mean, breathing in carbon monoxide constantly is just not good for you folks. Having constant smog over a city is not good for the nature and the animals and anything, So we need to get away from the old and start really, taking in consideration some of these new technologies and going out there and, turning off your television, folks. Just turn it off. Get on the internet. Go to Panacea. Go to Panacea University and just build these things.
Well, that's a very, I mean, Josh, I think that is a very, you know, it's a logical point, because if you think about in a movie theater, now, you wouldn't put up with someone chain smoking in a movie theater, would you? So why would you put up with it coming out of the exhaust of all cars outside? Now,
exactly.
I think the important thing about the hydroxy is that the two ways that we, because we're definitely like an unorthodox left punch, and what we want to do is we want to go after this hydroxy with political legislation, so make it so it's mandatory that people, you know, have to use them, and they can get endorsed and subsidised by the government. But we also want to make it so it's kept as a low cost design that people can, you know, I mean, our open source engineers that have got them, we've made sure that they use the revenue to go on to improve further hydroxy technology, and that they have kept them at low cost. So that's, so that means, and they've got the best and most reliable boosters, and we've tested these ourselves. So you can't really get that from a retailer. I mean, if you give money to a retailer, you're at his mercy. He can charge whatever he wants. But if you go, if you can't build these guys, these devices yourself, and you know, we tell you how to build them for free. And you, if you can't build them yourself, you can get them off some of our open source engineers. And like I said, they are the lowest cost. They're lower than any other retail product out there. They are the most reliable. And also, these guys use the revenue to better the hydroxy research. So you can't really get a better deal than that.
Well, that's fantastic. If you folks want to get something like that, just visit panacea-bocaf.org. Right now, it's time for a little bit of a musical interlude. So sit back and relax.
I still dream of organon. I wake up crying. You're making rain, and you're just in reach. When you sleep, escape me. You're like my dark, what made it so?
song Cloud Busting, a song dedicated to Wilhelm Reich and about Wilhelm Reich, another famed inventor who was thrown in jail for selling his wares, for selling his inventions. His orgone, he discovered orgone energy, which a lot of people say now that it's the same thing as chi energy, that the Chinese, but chi. He got thrown in jail, subsequently died in jail. Just another one of the inventors that die in prison or get thrown in prison or mental hospitals throughout our time. And it's time to put a stop to it using open source energy. On the line, we have Ashworth. He's from the panacea-bocaf.org website. And you can find lots of information about the hydroxy boosters and all sorts of stuff on his website.
Well, that's the thing. If you go to our website and you look at our hydroxy page on there, or if you go to our online university, I suggest that people go to our online university and download the hydroxy course for free.
Right.
And that's got a mention of all the how to build these ones, and if you can't build them, who to contact to get them off. But if people have got any questions, they can just email us, because we're here at the office all the time and we answer a lot of these. But the thing is, like Josh said, there's a lot of snake oil people out there, and they're making very dangerous boosters, and they're about to ruin the whole thing for everyone. So what I want people to keep in mind here is that do not either you go to our course and find the ones that have been tested and validated and have show the ones to keep away from. Otherwise, if you want to understand the thinking of how to evaluate a booster, the first thing is, if they're made of PVC and the guy's not going to give you a bench-tested runtime test, like he doesn't tell you what the temperature of the booster is after 8 hours of runtime, then this thing's going to melt after 2 hours. If they're using baking soda, then you're going to produce toxic chlorine gas, and you're also going to produce more CO2. So the ones that have, say, a mason jar or baking soda, or that are made of PVC housing, and do not give you a runtime test and tell you what the temperature of the cell is after a certain time, stay away from them. Our boosters are actually made of solid stainless steel. We have got PVC ones for the people that want a really cheap, you know, low cost and reliable one for under 2 hours of driving. But if you want to do over 2 hours of driving...
Well, we live in Australia, folks. We're going to do some driving.
Yeah.
Just driving to your neighbour takes 2 hours.
Oh, definitely. We when we went down to Sydney and we trained one guy at PKW Performance, he actually gave us our dyno and emissions test on there for free, and we trained him. We drove back from Sydney. It was an 11-hour trip, and we actually ran one of these stainless steel boosters at 25 amps. For the listeners, that's above what it's rated at from the battery. It's only usually you're meant to run at about 20 amps. We actually ran it at 25 amps for I think 11 hours straight. And as soon as Andrew, who's the other half of Panacea, as soon as he turned up and told me this, I went outside. We had did a temperature test on the booster, and we filmed it. And booster was under 60 degrees, so that's ideal. If you go and buy any one of those PVC boosters and you run it at full concentration, I'll tell you right now that it's going to melt after 2 hours, and that's coming from the experience of learning the hard way. So the best thing to do is to download the course that we've done. You won't be able to find a course on hydroxy at any other university. So we're forced at the moment to have an online faculty, and it's a very comprehensive course, and it is it's backed up by our dyno and emissions and our runtime tests, and we're not selling anything. Primarily, we will tell you how to build these things. And if you can't do it, just know that you're going to get them cheaper from us than anyone else. And we actually have to use the revenue by law for the sustainable projects that we're involved in.
Look, guys, we really have to get behind Panacea, all of our listeners, because these are people here from all around the world. These are engineers that have basically risked their lives. Let's not beat around the bush here. They have. A lot of people have been killed for this sort of stuff or been absolutely threatened. So here we have an organization putting themselves on the line, working for pittance, a non-profit profit organization. So we need to really push and tell your friends about all these guys. It's also important to get onto their websites, to donate to them, to download their... It's also extremely important to download all their documentation and copy it, paste it around the web, link to it from around the world web, make mirrors of their site so they can't shut them down, and just get the information out there. It's absolutely important. It's important you do it right now.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, guys. I mean, we've all got to really network together, and, I think, really... you guys, as the independent news media, without you guys, seriously, you guys, we would like to promote to the utmost importance, because
it's a symbiotic relationship. Like you said, it's symbiotic.
Too many people relying on the government to tell them what and the news media to tell them what is the state of affairs. Now, the whole other side of the coin is that technology here that can stop global warming right now, from the geek technology to the boosters alone. But we've got no funding. And you guys are an honest and integral news center, which is obviously teaches people introspection, which is their own judgment and reasoning, and to think for themselves and not to rely on, because obviously... People must not rely on the corporate media to tell them, and people must not be under the impression that the education system is not designed to keep you dumbed down and to take you nowhere.
Yeah, and even if you don't buy the global warming thing, you've got to understand that the New World Order and the power structures of the power elite, whatever you want to call them, have used energy as their main source of control, their main source of income, and basically that is the bondage that we're all under, is the bondage of energy control, and to break that is of utmost importance. So
definitely. People, there's so much, there's one of the questions we were going to go into is about how much technology is suppressed.
Yeah,
and how does this technology get suppressed? Would you like me to speak a bit about that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, how far down the rabbit hole does everyone want to go? So, I can speak on this issue not only from a research point of view, but from empirical experience. As some of our engineers, registered with our non-profit organisation, have encountered interference, which ultimately didn't work, but most, if not all, are so lucky. Now, the detail that's required to list all the cases is on our web pages under energy suppression, and you'll see a multitude of articles there and solutions.
So that's Panacea.
Panacea-bocaf.org. It's basically an acronym that stands for Building Our Children a Future.
Great.
So we've actually got solutions on there to stop energy suppression, and this is primarily by including public participation from our newsletter to police by watching and ready to report any interference of the engineers and organisations disclose research to the authorities. So we'd ask you guys to please subscribe. It's free. It did work now, because one of our engineers did get threatened to put some of his stuff on YouTube, and since what we did then was we took the replication that we were working on, which was parallel with his, into the police station. We basically told them and, you know, said we are going to create a newsletter where people have the link to this to some the authorities, and if anything else happens to our engineer that got threatened or us, or any of the organisation's efforts, that all our newsletter subscribers will be reporting this to the authorities. Here's a heads up, and we walked out. And the thing is, that has worked because he's now back on the forums. Right, he's now posting his videos again. He's working on new technology. And
see, that's like that there, right there. That is just magic. That is sticking it to this this global elite who have basically controlled and monopolized the energy factor, the energy sector of society. Now, I mean, that folks is really. That is where the internet has come to fruition for us. And it's really important that you all go out there and really use the internet to its fullest while we still have it, because email lists like that are just absolutely perfect.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot, mate. No, you know, and don't think that online petitions can't do anything either. I mean, Kucinich got enough to go ahead with the next stage of the impeachment as well. So... yeah, no, online, this online subscription with the newsletter is basically, you know, everyone's got the link to report to the authorities, and that's what they fear the most. They fear a scandal with international press. That's why, you know, they try and silence you. And I've got to say, I'm as psyched as you are, Josh, about, you know, this guy coming back, because it's the only case I know of in history where someone has been threatened and they've actually come back and continued on with their research and disclosure. And this is what happened with our engineer from India. And he basically, you know, these, we've got, we need more. Well, I think we've got up to about 500 of them now subscribed that are watching. And, you know, they rely on you being intimidated. And we've intimidated them by saying, look, if we, you know, what are you going to do when the public ask questions about what happened to our engineer? What are you going to do? And you know,
well, the fact of the matter is they can't kill everyone.
Was, you know,
and
he was intimidated. I mean,
They can't get rid of everyone. They can't intimidate everyone. We're bigger than we're bigger than the sum of one, and that's what's important, you know. And all these email lists will be on the show notes at truthnews.com.au. So all the websites will be there in the show notes.
Yeah, terrific. I mean, you know, you guys have really made a difference. I mean, you know, the public and the underground, I can see the generation, next generation is looking back at this guy, you know, you guys starting in the guerrilla movement, and it's the same. Don't think that you can't, by your participation, be the straw that breaks the camel's back, because, you know, no one's ever tried these things. That's why they haven't succeeded. And, you know, we've the empirical proof is there. I mean, our engineer is back. He's done new research. He's uploaded new videos. And, you know, basically, without the public watching these guys, they can get away with. They get away with everything in the shadows. They get away with, you know, knocking people off because, you know, people aren't watching. People don't notice. And you can intimidate them by watching them. You know, it's gathering a lot of momentum now. I mean, especially with you guys.
Well, that's where the real media have lost,
especially the underground.
The ball. You know, the mainstream media have dropped the ball. They're the ones meant to be asking the questions. They're the ones that are meant to be really putting the thumb on the corporations, the thumb on the politicians. And for me, mate, I just look at the news and I end up yelling at the TV. So instead, I decide to yell into a microphone. So Ashworth.
Yeah, we need you guys. So, I mean, you know, one thing that works for me, Josh, is you get one of those rubber bricks, and I've got a bit of a rubber foam thing, and I've painted it like a brick, so you can throw it at the TV.
Oh, fantastic! That's a good idea.
I don't have a TV, mate. I haven't owned one for over 5 years. So,
yeah, good.
You don't need it.
Well, that's why you've got so much done. Now.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, Ashworth, would love to have you back on the show when you've got anything to report. And it's been wonderful to talk to you. Folks, if you want to get in touch with Ashworth or if you want to see his videos, check him out on YouTube. Just type his name, Ashworth Palace. That's A-S-H-T.
Oh, actually, it's probably better that you guys chuck in the Panacea-BOCAF.
Okay.
I'd say because most of my name's not actually in the title.
Okay.
Because right. I'm just a volunteer
in
the organization.
All right, yeah, well, chuck in the Panacea and, and we'll have those links on the show notes at truthnews.com.au. And we'll see you next time. And thanks for listening.